It's Chevy Auto Showtime at your local Chevy dealer. Now's your chance to check out a Chevy Silverado 1500 pickup with 1.9% APR financing. Go to Chevy Drive Chicago for details. Hurry, this is one Auto Showtime deal you don't want to miss.
That's right, you're deeper in debt. What are you going to do about it? You'll contact Herb Weisbone, the consumer man, an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, a contributor, contributing editor at Checkbook. .org. Good evening to you, Herb.
Again.
There you are.
Hi, John.
Can you hear me? Can I hear you? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Hi, John.
Hi, Herb.
How are you? How's Tennessee Ernie Ford?
He's deeper in debt.
He's deeper in the ground is where he is.
Yeah, he's deeper in debt. You've got a thing about debt. You know I do. match up the music, so there's your debt intro.
That was great.
Oh, yeah. I try. So, dealing with debt, what about it? Not exactly my favorite topic.
Well, it's a topic a lot of people are dealing with in this country right now.
That's why it's not my favorite topic.
I know. In a while, we're going to get to some success stories to prove that you can actually get out of really deep debt. But the first thing I want to start out with is a survey that was done late last year by the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. These are the folks who represent the nonprofit credit counselors in America, the good guys, the people who try to work with you and figure out how they can get you out of debt. And it was very disturbing, the findings that they found, because debt is just no longer this background concern, but it's a daily struggle for many families. And they're really having to make some tough decisions about where they spend their money. Mm-hmm. Can they buy groceries or medication? Do they pay the rent? Do they make the minimum payment on their credit card? They're juggling these bills and there's numbers. And so they asked people, and this was a survey that they did. It was done by the Harris Poll for them. And they asked them about what they're doing to meet debt, meet the ends, make ends meet with a paycheck to paycheck. And nearly half, 47% of all cardholders, and I'm sorry, I got my surveys confused. This is a Bankrate.com survey, but this is just as valid. 47%, half of all cardholders carry debt from month to month. So that means, John, they're not paying off their bill and they're paying that interest rate. And you know what the average interest rate in the country is right now? I'll take a guess.
25%.
You're close. It's 22% for carrying debt. So that's pretty high. And some of the interest rates on some cards are actually, as we've talked before, up to 35%. So, but the average is
20%. That is astounding. You know, that is just, that's insane.
Yeah.
And you know, so, you get some of these, now this hasn't happened to me, but I know that it can happen. So thank you. You get like, 18 months, no interest, right?
Correct. Yeah,
but then if you don't make it, bang, they add on the interest from all those months and then go to this high interest rate.
Correct. That's what's called
for you to never
interest.
Pay it off. Yeah,
that's
you'll never pay it off.
Deferred interest, yep. And the problem is if you are 1 cent short by the time that is due, they will retroactively take the interest back to where it was, and you're usually a high interest rate of 20 to 25%, something like that. That's right. You have to be very careful with deferred interest. But this
insane.
Is general interest that people are paying on their normal credit cards. And about 1 in 5, 22% of this Bankrate survey found that they're never going to pay off their credit card debt, which is really astounding that they've just sort of – what happens is they're just sort of throwing up their hands and they're just saying, I can't deal with this. I'm going to miss payments. I'm not going to pay. I'm going to just – this is the way life is. And that's very sad because you just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. I actually, for the one of those – when we talked last time, I ran the numbers in one of those online calculators. You can figure things out.
Sure.
If you have one of those 35% credit cards,
God.
And you only make the minimum payment, remember, you never get ahead if you make the minimum payment.
You're right, of course.
Late charges, but you're not getting ahead. I asked the calculator how long it would take me to pay off the debt. Do you want to guess what the answer was?
No.
it said, this is the truth, it said infinity, which means you would never pay the bill off. If you only made the minimum payment with a 35% interest rate, you'd never get ahead. It would the balance would keep growing bigger and you'd never pay it off.
Okay,
so
what happens if you haven't paid it off and you die? Then what?
In I'm not an estate attorney, but in most cases, most of the debt does not roll over, except maybe to a spouse if it's a credit card with two people's names on it. I'm not, and every state
okay.
law may
All
be
right,
different,
sorry.
But yeah. it may be the requirement of the state to pay it off, your estate to pay it off in some cases. But that's not the way you want to live with being in that situation.
Well, no, of course not.
Yeah, and as you'll hear in the second half, the people we talk to for my podcast, I mean, they compare it to an anchor on their shoulders that every day they're deciding. You know, this week, what am I going to pay to make ends meet? I got 10 credit cards. Can I make the minimum on this one? That's not uncommon to have over 10 or more cards. So that's the real key here. The key is people are dealing with this situation. They're using their credit cards to survive because they just can't make it through the week without using the credit cards. They're not paying off the debt, or they're only paying off the minimum. So it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and they have this financial burden on their shoulders, and they really have just thrown up their hands. And the point I hope to make with you and share you some audio, these people talking after the commercial break, is there really is a way that you can get out of this debt. I've interviewed, John, over the years, people who have been in $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $80,000 worth
of
credit
card. Oh my God.
And working with a nonprofit credit counselor, someone who is working with you. I've met these people in person. They have paid off the balance in about 4 years, and they have wound up, this one person was debt free, was about to put a down payment on a house. So there is really hope. There is light at the end of this tunnel if you deal with the right people and not those commercials that say, hey, we're going to solve all your problems.
So they're really, if you have an actual competent expert in this area, there really is a way to deal with this stuff.
Sure, because as we'll talk about, they have pre-negotiated rates with the credit card companies, and they can bring your interest rate down to a point where you can actually pay off this debt and
Amazing.
Stop racking up more debt and actually become debt-free. It really can happen.
We're going to do more when we come back on 720 WGN. Yeah, but how much interest? That's the question of the hour. 720 WGN, 819 with John Landecker and Herb Weisbaum, the consumer man. And let's get back to what we're talking about, debt, interest, and a way out.
The Hollies, right?
Yeah.
I just, I was an old disc jockey too, so I have to keep myself sharp. That was good. I liked it.
Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So for our latest podcast, consumerpedia.org, and news article, we put up some dealing with debt success stories. And there are two of them in this issue and also on the podcast. One is Janine Kaczynski, and she's from San Francisco. She found herself in $35,000 worth of credit card debt. Plus, she had a mortgage and two student loans. She had maxed out her five credit cards. She was really in a downward spiral. She was hospitalized because she got very ill. Part of it was because of the being laid off from work, and part of it was because of the debt that was hanging over her head. She contacted a nonprofit credit counselor and was able to pay that down in less than a year. She worked really hard at paying this down. And her message in the story is, you can do this, you can absolutely do this, but you got to have help, and the right kind of help. That's story number one. And story number two is the woman we're going to meet right now, Tiana Moore. Tiana is a mom, an operating room nurse in New Britain, Connecticut. Wonderful lady. She lost her job in 2019 and then was furloughed from another one during the pandemic the following year. And on the Consumerpedia podcast, I asked her to describe what it felt like when she was dealing with $21,000 in credit card debt. And here's what she told me.
I honestly felt like I was drowning. I had to contemplate between covering those minimum payments to putting food on the table or paying my mortgage and raising my children. So it was very difficult to make a decision on what to pay for this month.
Did you miss the minimum sometime?
I did. And I had to ask for, you know, waivers, but you only could do that so many times.
I assume the interest rates were sky high.
Oh, yeah. 29, 30%.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So Tiana decided to pay it off rather than declare bankruptcy, and she learned about a nonprofit credit counseling agency through her bank. God bless Bank of America for letting her know about this. The counselor reviewed all of her expenses, John, crafted a personalized plan for her. She felt like a real person was going through and helping her with her struggle. As part of the deal, when you do this with a nonprofit credit counselor, you have to shut down your credit card accounts so you can't charge any more. And she was advised not to open any new ones. And what the council was able to do is they were able to negotiate a 0% interest rate, John, on all of her cards, down from 29%.
Man.
All she had to do was make a single payment to the agency every single month. They divided it up amongst the creditors.
Wow.
And after 4 years of hard work and changing her spending habits, she was debt-free. And here's what she had to say about that.
I feel great. And actually, my total was $21,000, but what the money management did was they calculated if I were to continue paying those minimum payments, I would have ended up actually paying $54,000 to these creditors.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. So they actually knocked my total down to $30,000, actually.
And, you know, that's a really good point, by the way. When you make the minimum payment, you're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting deeper and deeper, right?
Yes.
So, again, how are you feeling that you got that monkey off your back?
I feel amazing because now I had opportunities to catch up on some of the bills that I had because I did have some bills that I was behind on because of the credit card debt. I also had an opportunity to save as well. So it's great to know that now I can invest in my future and my children's future.
And you're right, John. You don't get anywhere if you don't only make the minimum payment.
Yeah, I'd just jump in there on a pre-recorded. I was so into it. No, I was so into what was going on. I thought, yeah, well, that's absolutely, or whatever I said. I don't know.
These two stories are so compelling. Consumerpedia.org or at thecheckbook.org. It's right on the story there. But you can do it. They are just two of many that do it every single year. But you have to go to the right person. If you don't know where to start, may I suggest you go to nfcc.org. That's the website of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC. And you can find out where you can talk to a nonprofit credit counselor. The cool thing is, John, you go in for the first session and it's free. They go through your credit, your spending habits, what you need to pay off, what you're doing. That's completely free. And then if you decide and it's worthy of your time to do a payment plan where you do everything I said, cut up the cards and do the thing, then you have to pay them a bit every month. Some people, it's based on your ability to pay maybe $15, but never more than $75 a month. So it's really a system tailored to the individual that they can work with you and help you get out of this debt.
Do you want to do a quick thing about data breach notices before the bottom of the hour?
No, that's way, way too long. So we'll do that. We'll talk a little bit more about this if you can. But I really got to caution people that the for-profit credit counselors, the ones who do advertise all the time and make it really, really sound simple. We have a magic formula and we're going to get you out of debt and all you have to do is pay us some money. What they tend to do, and some of these may work for some people, but what they generally tend to do is put you in worse shape than you were before you started. Because what most of these suggest is that you don't pay your bills and allow yourself to get, default on all your payments. And then you're going to get the credit card companies to come begging on their knees to you to get you to offer you lower interest rates because you told them you're not going to pay your bill. So they'll come kneeling to you and say, okay, let's work out a deal. You think the credit card company's going to do that, John? No,
I
that's
doubt
the answer
it.
To that question. No,
yes.
They're not going to do that. And what they're going to do is if you don't pay after a while, they're going to sue you or send you to collection. And that's going to be on your file and you're going to destroy your credit history and maybe not get it back again. And that is not the right way to go. And these people have paid thousands of dollars for this. By the way, it's illegal to pay for a debt counseling service, a credit repair service before you get the service. But they come up with these other things that they'll bill you for. Can't get any of the money back when it doesn't work. And they wind up completely out of money and worse off than they started. Go with a nonprofit credit counselor. I can't urge this strongly enough. NFCC.org.
I don't even know organizations like that existed.
Yeah.
Nonprofits.
Yeah. And the credit card companies want to work with them because they're going to get something back, right? They're going to get some of their money back. And,
yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so it makes more sense to do it that way than not. And I'm telling you, I've been working with this organization for decades now, and I've been going to their annual conference for a number of years and meet these people. And it's just so it's inspiring to hear how they're able to do it. It's really wonderful.
At these conferences, do you put it on your credit card or how do you take care of it?
I do put it on my credit card, but I pay it off every single month. I'll tell you that right now.
I know
absolutely.
You do. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's funny. And then I expense it, John. And then I let the IRS pick up a little bit of it.
That's right.
Of course.
Of course. There's always a way if you got the will, so to speak.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Love the IRS. Love interest rates. My, yeah, I'm being
facetious.
Yeah, at least.
Wasn't he, when we come back, what song you found for Data Breaches. I can't wait for that one.
Did I do something for Data Breaches? I think I know
only,
I did.
Only you would know, but there's way too many of them. And
what about the laundry? What about laundry?
Oh, yeah. We're gonna ask you a quiz about the laundry, Johns. We'll start with briefs or boxer shorts.
You're asking me this now?
No, we'll wait and find out.
Okay. But you want to do.
Tease.
I got it. You want to do Data Breaches and then laundry?
I think so. We'll end with a bang.
Yeah, we got to do laundry. When do you ever come on this show and talk about laundry?
This was a first. I got to interview the chief laundry guy at Consumer Reports. This guy's been the head of the department for 8 years and knows his life is laundry.
His life is laundry. So he's actually doing laundry every day?
Day out.
And he's getting paid for it.
He's good, and I've visited the place, and I can tell you what they do, how serious. They take laundry very, very seriously at Consumer Reports.
Yes, yes. They should.
Unlike you and I do, they really get into this kind of thing.
So, like, is there a room with a whole bunch of washing machines in it? Or
acts exactly the same laundry machines. They all have the temperature of the water. There's a meter that measures the temperature of the water. The detergent is the same and all measured. The clothes are all the exact same material and measured. They have a thing that measures the vibration if you're talking about water. It is absolutely scientific by the data that when they tell you something, it's all based on the data, and they do it over and over and over again to make sure they got it right. It is absolutely.
Wow.
And I was also in the toilet room, too. That was pretty amazing how they simulate poop. If you ask me at the end, I'll tell you how they simulate poop. But
they really do?
Yeah, they really do. It's amazing what you can do with balls and styrofoam or whatever else material they use.
Wow. There's a whole bunch to look forward to with Herb. That'll be coming up. But right now it's the bottom of the hour and time to get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. That's right. 720.
Star Trek, my favorite.
Hey, you know, every time the term data comes up, that's where I go.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's my go-to data, so to speak. Herb Weisbaum is with us, a consumer advocate and expert on things that you need to know about, credit cards, debt, laundry.
Data.
He's got a whole laundry list of items that he's going to get to tonight. So, data breaches? Is this what we're talking about? Okay.
We are. You ever get a data breach notice? Ever say, hey, Mr. Landecker, you've been in a data breach and your information may have been stolen, so we're going to give you free credit monitoring?
No. I've never had one of those.
Oh,
somebody's going to offer me free credit monitoring?
Well, if you're in a breach.
That's a red flag, isn't it?
Well, everybody else listening has received one of these.
Really?
Because they're going, yes, everybody's getting breach data notices several a year, according to some surveys. The Identity Theft Resource Center, a great nonprofit, found that 80% of Americans, so you're the 10 to 20% that's not there, John, have gotten one of these in the past 12 months, and nearly 40% get 3 to 5 of them. It's a company telling you that your data they've been breached and your data has been compromised. Do you know what we're talking about here? So somebody, a hacker breaks into a website of a big company or an organization. They steal all the information. And then in every state, those organizations or companies are required to tell you, if you're in that pile of data, somebody stole this data from me. Okay, so now we know what we're talking about, okay?
Okay.
So if your information has been breached, you have to get one of these notices. And like I said, 8 out of 10 Americans have gotten one in the last year, and many of them. I get them all the time. And it's causing anxiety and fear and frustration for the people that are getting them. They're concerned, and rightly so, that, okay, you just told me the criminal stole my information. They're going to use it to commit financial fraud, identity theft. And that's really what happens when you get a data breach. The point of the story I did, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is what you do if you get one of these notices. But it really is scary because your information is floating around out there. You don't know what it might be used to hurt you with. And they can do all kinds of things. They could try to take over your existing credit card accounts or your checking accounts and drain the money out. They could try to get into your social media accounts. It all depends on what passwords and what PIN codes and everything else they got.
Yeah.
They could try to send you. They could tailor their spam calls. They could know that you like fine wine, and therefore they could tailor their spam email to you, John, that has an appeal to someone who likes wine or whatever. So it's a really a serious thing. And what you have to do is you have to know what to do if you get one of these breach notices and not just throw up your hands and say, oh, well, my stuff's out there. There's nothing I can do. You know, too bad they're going to get me, because you have to do things, and there are things you can do. Would you like me to run down the checklist of some of these things?
You call it a checklist. Interesting.
Well,
yes.
We're checkbook. See, we're checkbook.org, and we have a checklist.
Got it. That's
right. We also have a laundry list, but that we could do that for the next segment. Okay. So we've talked about this many, many times before, and what the first thing you need to do is freeze your credit reports with all three credit bureaus, your files, if you haven't done this already. And if you're listening to this program and you haven't done it, please do it, because this is the most effective way to prevent identity theft. What it does is it locks your credit files at Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and no one can access them. So they're trying to do a credit check, John, to do something that could hurt you. So I'm a criminal. I hacked into this website. I have your account number, and I'm trying to, or password, or let's say I have your password and your code, and I'm trying to get into an account to open up a new credit card. Or I just have your personal information or your social security number, and I'm trying to open up a new credit card or a new bank account or rent an apartment in your name. Anything that requires a credit check, the company will check with the credit bureau to see what your credit score is, and the credit bureau will say, sorry, wrong. We can't provide that information. This account is frozen. And therefore, the criminals can't do what they want to do. They can't rent that apartment in your name. They can't open a credit card in your name. They can't open a bank account in your name, utility in your name, streaming service in your name. Anything that requires a credit check, they will be blocked from doing. It's the best thing you can do, and one of the only proactive steps you can do to prevent your information that is stolen in a breach from being used against you. If you haven't done it, please do so. You need to go to Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, three separate companies. It is free. It does not impact your credit score whatsoever. It does not impact your current relationship with your creditors whatsoever. What it does is protect you if your information is stolen in a breach and someone tries to use it to commit financial fraud. So that's checklist thing number one, is freeze your account if you haven't done so already. And if you're listening, if you've done so, pat yourself on the back because you did the right thing. Number two is change the impacted passwords. So if you know that your password was used at Apple.com, at BestBuy.com, whatever, and they send you a note, Mr. Landecker, our things were just breached, our databases, change the password that you use for whatever that was, for Amazon.com, BestBuy.com, HomeDepot.com, whatever, change that password. And because so many people use passwords across multiple accounts, which you really shouldn't do, you need to change the password for those other accounts as well, because once criminals have passwords, they try them across multiple accounts, which is why we say never use a password more than once. So that's the second thing to do. The third thing to do is be vigilant. You've got to assume that with this information that the criminals have, they're going to try to use it. They're going to try to get into your financial files. They're going to try to get into your medical accounts. Medical records today, John, are the most valuable thing to a criminal on the dark web. They can monetize those more than credit card numbers or anything else. Medical accounts. They can buy drugs in your name and then sell them on the dark web and be a drug dealer. So that's why medical accounts are so valuable. So monitor these accounts just maybe a little more frequently than you normally would, because with ID theft, the quicker you spot the problem, the less the harm. So faster you get it, the less damage they can do. And finally, number four is be highly suspicious. Take your time before responding to any unsolicited emails, texts, or calls. You should always do this to make sure they're legit. But if you've been compromised, criminals are going to use that information to try to tailor their nefarious communications to you so it seems more realistic. You know, they may know you have a bank account with this company. Or they may know you're a customer with this company. They may have information that they gathered that would make that scam pitch seem more realistic. So you've got to just be on guard for that. But just, you know, don't throw your arms up, please, and say, there's nothing I can do. I just gave you four things that you can do to try to protect yourself.
And laundry's next when we come back on 720 WGN.
With the leader of the laundromat.
That's right. Who could forget that fabulous group called the Detergents?
They cleaned up with that song, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know. Sorry. I think they did. Okay. it cycled through, I believe. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, it did. Sure, it did. Sure, it did.
They were the original Weird Al Yankovic.
Just about.
Yeah.
Okay, so Herb Weisbaum with us here at 720 WGN, launching in now for the first time, laundry tips. Can't wait to hear this.
And these are from the folks at Consumer Reports who know everything about doing laundry. And if I may do a quick little commercial plug,
sure.
Some of the questions I'm going to start to ask you here, John, were done by for the College of Consumer Knowledge, the podcast we do every couple of times a year. And the guests on that one were the amazing Lisa Dent, and we wish her all the best.
Yeah.
She did it just before her accident. And Steve Bertrand, who came out of retirement just to do the podcast with us. So if you want to listen to a great half hour of people getting the answers wrong, no, they got some right. Go to consumerpedia.org, consumerpedia.org, and it's Checkbook's College of Consumer Knowledge. But here's the question I asked them, John, that they got wrong. So let's see if you can get this one right, okay?
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Okay, here we go. When it comes to getting your clothing clean, which two types of laundry detergents tend to do the best? So I want two answers of these, of the list I'm going to give you. Which two clean clothing the best? Powders, liquids, pods, or detergents? Which of those two?
Wow.
Powders? I know
powders?
Your house, the butler does the cleaning. So you
No. Powders, pods.
Liquids and detergent sheets.
Detergents, sheets.
No, which sheets are like sheets of detergent. So those are the four options.
Well, you can obviously tell I never ran into a detergent sheet.
So who does the laundry at your house? Mrs. Landecker?
I do some. I do some.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say, what are they again?
Powders, liquids, pods, or
liquids.
Sheets?
Liquids.
Give me two. What's the second one?
I got to have two?
Which of these two, the question was, do the best job?
Was liquid a correct answer?
Give me the second one first. Yes, it was the correct answer. That's one of two.
Thank you very much. All right. Pods.
You are actually right, John. That is correct.
That is because I am a laundry savant. Everybody knows this.
Well, that's correct. Consumer Reports says liquids and pods perform a little better overall. Steve and Lisa thought that laundry detergent sheets were the best. They said they'd heard that. I have no idea where they heard that from, but they heard it from the wrong people. Consumer Reports says that they tend to do worse than the other ones, and the powders sort of come in just under pods and liquids. So that's the number one question that I gave them.
Wow.
And they had fun with that. All right, here's number two for you, sir. And this is... true or false? I'll make it easy for you. Using more than the recommended amount of detergent can help get clothes cleaner, especially when they're really dirty. Using more than the recommended amount when you have a really, really dirty load.
Run that button. You
know,
no.
Oh, like, you know, you clean the
no, you, just because it's really, 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 really dirty, you don't put in more than the recommended load.
That is the correct answer.
Because you're going to screw up the laundry machine.
That is exactly right. The extra detergent will leave residue on the fabric.
Drop mic.
More dirt. Yep. Wait a minute. I used to have a bell. Ding, 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 ding. Way to go, John. Okay. So they ran through everything in this podcast at Consumerpedia, but I'll just go through some of the things.
Yeah.
I never realized, and I learned something every time I record one of these podcasts. So I said to this guy, his name's Rich Handel. He's one of their engineers there, test engineers. He's been doing this for 8 years. And I said to him, obviously what you do is you sort the darks from the lights. Everybody knows that. And he goes, wait a minute, there's something else you should do when you sort the laundry. Can you think of it? And I did not know this. Can you think of another way you would sort the laundry besides just darks and lights?
Wow. Not off the top of my head.
So it could be fabrics if they had to be washed in a certain way. But his advice was the weight of the fabric.
The weight?
He says, yeah. So in other words, you don't want to put light items in with heavier
things.
So you put in a few towels and a few of your boxer shorts or whatever.
No, that's bad.
Then the machine is like, I don't know what to do here. I got some heavy things. They're calibrated. So if you did all sheets at one time, or you did all blankets at one time, or you did all towels at one time, and then all the lighter stuff, that will actually and when you don't do that, do you ever see a washing machine sort of dance? It goes and moves across the floor.
I know what you're talking about, but no. Yeah. I've seen it on TV, but
happens if you're in the older machines, especially the newer machines will shut down. The older machines, if you do that, and it's unbalanced. I mean, some of them have literally danced across the floor or walked across the floor far enough that it'll pull the hose out of the wall.
A lot of these washing machines have different settings that one would be, you know, for heavy duty or. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah,
not
you
just
that,
a.
But if you have the different stuff in there, it's not going to know what to do.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, but I mean, yeah, you wouldn't put a light duty in with heavy duty. You'd have to watch where you put your duty. So
that's your, you got to do a duty check, as you might have said way back when. So, boogie check. Okay.
Oh.
So, yes. But so anyway, that was his one tip that I thought was a really good one, that you need to do that. What about pre-treating with stains?
Oh, boy.
Do you really need one of these special products that are pre-treating stain stuff, or can you use it just like, you know, like liquid detergent you use and put the liquid detergent rubbing in the stain? What do you think?
I think it's you put the liquid detergent in and rub it with the stain.
That's what they found with their tests. Yes, first you have to blot away as much of the stain as
you can. By the way, have I gotten anything wrong yet? No.
Okay, I'll go with that. No. Yes, you're doing great.
Thank you.
Yes, and if Mrs. Landegger's listening, you're doing the wash this week.
She's shocked. Okay.
So you blot away as much as you can,
yeah,
and then you pre-treat it and deal with it. You can rub in some of that stuff in, let it sit for a few minutes. If it's a really tough stain, you might want to let it sit a little longer. You might even want to pre-treat it twice, and then put it in. If it doesn't come out, and you think it might come out, pre-treat it and wash it again, as opposed to putting it in the dryer right away, because, and a lot of people know this, but if you put it in the dryer, that's going to lock in the stain. So once you put it in the dryer, it sets up the stain, it's done. So if you got like part of it out, but not all of it out, pre-treat it again, maybe leave it a bit longer, put in a soak cycle, and then try it again, because it goes in the dryer, you're going to lock in the stain. How about
good,
that?
Good to know.
Okay. Yes. Okay, what else can I ask you here? All right, what else? I got a couple more here. Okay.
Okay.
What about, oh yeah, they're big on this. What about fabric softener? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Down.
You're correct. They are really not fans of fabric softener.
Ladies
they
and gentlemen.
Say, John Landegger's doing perfect. Wow, I've done this to you for 5 years. You've never been perfect before.
Well, so, you've never asked me about laundry.
That's true. That's true. Okay. So they call it putting conditioner on your clothes to make them feel soft.
But right.
It leaves a residue that reduces the flammability rating for clothing, especially for infant clothing, young kids' clothing.
Yeah.
And fabric softener also reduces the absorbency of towels. So you have these lovely towels that you
Whoa.
Got, and now they're not going to absorb as much. So what they suggest is there are things called wool balls that you can put in the dryer, and they sort of bounce around almost like a tennis ball kind of thing.
Yes.
And they break up the load so it's not all compacted, and so it makes it dry a little better, and it softens things up a little bit. And they said if you really like the idea of having fragrance with your laundry, and we're a fragrance-free family.
No.
My wife cannot stand fragrance.
No.
But take some and put it on a paper towel, your favorite perfume, and slip it in the drawer, and it'll get into your clothing. So that's what their thought is on fabric softener. How about that?
I like that.
Oh, here's another one for you, and this is an easy one because there's only one of two right answers.
Okay. I'll get this one wrong much.
Which cleans better? This is a lot of people don't know this. This is one of those old wives' tales kind of thing. Which cleans better, hot water or cold water?
Cold.
Actually, cold water cleans every bit as well as hot water these days. Ding, ding,
Once
ding, ding,
again,
ding ding,
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, most manufacturers have now moved their formulations to work in cold water. CR has tested the same detergents in cold water and hot water. The only thing they recommend is if someone is sick in your family,
you
might want to do the hot or warm or sanitizing cycle to get them really clean.
Well, there used to be the thing, you know, separating your colors, like doing your whites and then you're not with your – you wouldn't put a white shirt in with a pair of jeans, for instance. But when you did the lighter stuff, you'd use – let's see, what was it? Hot water, and then when you did the darker stuff, you'd use cold. You remember those days?
You can do every single thing. If you're using cold is for
everything. But it used to be that way.
Used to be that way, yep. And you should always read the fabric care labels, because they may tell you certain things about how you wash the things, but you could never go wrong. You couldn't shrink something by doing it in cold water, which you could in hot water. So, yeah, you don't have to waste all the money on the hot water. Use the cold water.
Okay.
All right, smarty pants. So here's one for you. If the fabric care label says may be dry cleaned, can you still wash it if you want to?
No.
Wrong.
What?
Because it said may be dry cleaned.
Yeah, then why did it say it at all?
Because there's a must be dry cleaned, and then it must be dry cleaned.
Now, wait a minute. Why would they say anything about dry cleaning if it didn't need to be dry cleaned?
Because certain things cannot withstand dry cleaning the right way, or maybe not good for the fabric. So it may be dry cleaned if you feel like it. But if it says may, you can still wash it. If it says usually that would be a delicate cycle and hung dry. But if you it says must be dry cleaned, it must be dry cleaned. All right. Final question.
Yes.
We still got a little more time. Okay.
We do. Yeah.
Are there things you should never throw in the washing machine? I mean, minus household pets and other things like that. Is there anything you should? I'm just joking, pet lovers. I'm like the biggest pet.
Shoes.
Lover. Are there?
Gym shoes.
Really?
I don't know.
That's right. Ding 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 ding.
Oh my God!
Did you cheat? Did you read this?
No. Okay. This is insane. Cheated. I looked. I had ChatGPT give me the answer in the 10 seconds that were there.
And there's one more. Can you think of one more thing that you might never want to throw into the washer? I'll give you a hint. Take me out to the ball game.
Okay. Take me out to the ball game. Never want.
What piece of clothing might you wear at a ball game? On your head.
Oh, right. Got it. Caps. Yeah.
That's right. Because some manufacturers, even though they say you can do it, the glues can break down when you put them in the washing machine.
Right.
The materials
right.
can lose their form. So baseball caps and sneakers, those kind of things are better spot cleaned
right.
than they are actually putting them in the washing machine.
I cheated. I put a hat in it, got really dirty. I washed it by itself in the washing machine. Turned out okay.
Yeah, well, you were lucky, and some of them have those forms you can put in there, but it's the point of the glue more about that kind of thing.
No, I understand. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we got one more.
All right.
Okay. What about let's talk about the dryer? Okay.
All right.
Do you know that your dryer has to have the lint filter, not more than the lint filter cleaned? There's one other thing you have to do to keep your dryer running safely and properly. What else do you have to do if you have a dryer in your house? Besides remove the lint from the lint filter.
Well, there's only so many other things that make up a dryer. So the inside of the door.
No. Do you have something that goes from the dryer to the outside of your house?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
The hose where lint builds up and it can cause a fire. And it also makes your dryer run less efficiently. During my 5 years of Consumer Reporting, I've been to dryer fires. And you do not want one of those in your...
No.
Because you're not there. In most cases, don't spot it. And then the fire starts. So, yes, you have to clean out at least once a year, probably twice a year, depending on how many loads of wash you do. You've got to either do it yourself or call somebody in and get the dryer hose. And from experience, let me tell you that if you use a metal hose, one of those hard metal hoses, as opposed to the crinkly kind that you can buy, the plastic or the light metal crinkly kind. The crinkly kind tends to snag the lint more than the very the metal kind because they're smooth and soft and round, and they tend to be easier to clean and build up than the crinkly kind.
So we've come to the end. If people want to get a hold of you, what do they do, Herb?
Go to checkbook.org is where all my stuff is. The podcasts are at consumerpedia.org. And if you go to my website, consumerman.com, you can sign up for my weekly free newsletter where you'll find out what I'm doing. And if you want to ask me a question, there's a thing at the top to write Herb, and you say, I listen to you on Landecker, I'll answer any question you have. I promise.
All right. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, John. You be well.